Very thankful for the song service and certainly thankful for the humble prayer that was prayed and offered on our behalf. And again, I want to thank God for our earthly fathers, and most of all, I want to thank Him for breathing life into our nostrils and giving us the breath of life that we became living souls and have the hope of living with our Father which art in heaven one day. The thoughts on my mind this morning are those of forgiveness. And you know, if you've ever dealt with that issue, and I know that we all have, from time to time, we've struggled with the idea of forgiveness. I would probably say that each and every one of us at some point in our life have encountered a struggle with the ability to forgive someone for what they have done to us or in the way that they've offended us. The Bible tells us that we can expect to be offended. I mean, there's just, it's not something that will be voided by some of us. We're all going to be offended at some point in some way by somebody. And that's just the way that things are in this world. But as I stated a couple of weeks ago in trying to preach on finishing what you started, and the example that I used concerning marriage there, I'm going to give an example that, you know, a marriage wasn't finished till death separated the husband and the wife. That's a finished marriage. Now, there's a lot of ended marriages. But in my statement about that, I said God had a pattern and example He left us in the Word of God. And what happens is men fail to follow God's pattern and God's example. There comes a point in the life of a marriage oftentimes that God's plan is chunked out the window, if you would, and man implements his own plan. And you'll find that when man implements his own plan, the focus is removed from Jesus Christ and always focused on himself. I think the same can be said when it comes to forgiveness. God has given us a thorough example of how we're to forgive. He's commanded us to forgive. This is not an option for the believer or the child of God. It's not an option. God didn't qualify it. I don't find in the most comprehensive chapter in the Bible, Matthew chapter 18, and a lot of teachings in Luke chapter 17, I don't find anywhere that God qualified that and said, this is what constitutes a reason to forgive somebody, and this is what constitutes a reason not to forgive someone. Now, we have that in the world, and we have that in our own personal life, but generally we find that that's our plan and not God's. That's our way of viewing things and not God's. So forgiveness can be a real struggle, and it can be a difficulty for a lot of people. But we're commanded to forgive. You know, the Lord didn't say it'd be easy. He didn't say you're going to always feel right about it. You're always going to feel good about it. You know, I believe that God gives us emotions, and I believe emotions are good. But also, emotions can lead you astray at times. You know, the Lord, well, I believe, was emotional. He wept when Lazarus' sisters came to Him. He was filled with joy when it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that we were the joy set before Him. He had feelings for us. He knew the feelings of our infirmities. But yet again, if we're not careful, when it comes to the negative side of an unforgiving heart, our emotions can often lead us down the wrong path. They can lead us astray. Now, what is the purpose in forgiving? Is there a purpose? Why should we forgive? I mean, somebody has done something to us. They have inflicted pain and suffering on us. Why should we forgive them? Now, I'd ask that you would continue to pray this morning and that you would be attentive to this message, because forgiveness is an area that applies to every one of us. There's not a person in this building that's exempt from the teachings of God's Word. Now, if you wanted a perfect marriage or as close to a perfect marriage as you could have, you would follow God's perfect plan. There's no imperfections in God's plan. It's not a multiple choice plan. He says, here's how it is. If the woman will present herself and the man will present himself in the manner that God set forth, that marriage has a chance, if not a perfect chance, of lasting until death do them part, until they're separated by death. That's a finished marriage. But forgiveness is the same way. Do we follow God's pattern or do we implement our own pattern? Why should we forgive? The first reason you should forgive, God commanded you to forgive. We're sinners, and do you know that if God had not forgiven us, that we would all be punished with eternal destruction? Every one of us. For one sin, if all you ever committed was one sin, you had no ability to pay for that sin. If that sin was not forgiven, you would never have any hope of living in heaven. You know, our motivation for giving others has to be in what we see as our forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Solomon says, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all sinners. We're all guilty. For as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You know, sin is a problem before God, and aren't you thankful that God forgive you of your sins? Everyone. He paid the debt in full. But you need to understand that forgiveness was not free. You know, sometimes I think we as individuals believe that, you know, God is this powerful being, and he is powerful. And he's so different than we were that it just wasn't difficult for him. But I want you to understand, when Jesus Christ was in his incarnation, when he put on human flesh, I'm going to tell you, he had feelings like you and I have. He suffered pain like you and I have. He got hungry like you and I have. He needed to sleep like you and I do. I mean, he was not that much different than you and I when he walked around in his human body. Now, when Jesus approached that time of death on the cross, you know, there's something that he knew that you and I might not know. He knew that he would rise again. He knew that. There was no doubt in his mind that his Father would raise him from the tomb. You and I may have that doubt, and we may not go to the grave with the same view of that as Jesus Christ had. But I'm going to tell you, the pain that he suffered was no different than if it had been you or I nailed to that cross. If that spear had been shoved in your side, he would have felt the same exact pain that you and I would have felt. Can you imagine how difficult that would be, and how great the pain might be of having your feet and your hands nailed to a wooden cross, a spear drove in your side? He was beaten beyond recognition. I want you to understand that the pain that he suffered in his human body was like ours. Just because he was God didn't mean he suffered pain. He realized that he'd rise from the dead and that what he came to do, he would accomplish. But we need to remember that. Our forgiveness comes with a cost, and the cost was the life of the Son of God. It was not free. It was not free. But it ought to be our motivation for forgiving others, should it not? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 is a very common verse to each and every one of us. It says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. You know, that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? When somebody offends you or talks ugly about you or does something to you, gossips about you, which goes on pretty readily in the world today, says bad things about you that aren't true, can you be kind to them and tenderhearted toward them? Not an easy thing to do, is it? I'm here to tell you that forgiving others is not easy. I'm not here to say that there's been nothing easy in your life to do. But I'm here to tell you that we have the ability to do it. We're commanded to do it by the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why do you forgive them? Forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Do you know that there was nothing about us, there was no reason in and of us that we should have been forgiven? We were wretches. We hated God. We didn't love God. The debt that we've incurred against God, the sin debt, is a number that, at least in my life, and I think you'll view it in your life, that there's no number high enough that we can count all the sins that we've committed. This is an astonishing thing to me. You know, one day you're going to enter into heaven, and you're going to enter into heaven as one who has never committed a sin. That's how God's going to view you, as a righteous individual who has never sinned one time in his life. That there is an amazing thing to me. I thought about that. You know, I woke up about a month ago one night, and I laid in the bed there, and I began to think about the sins in the past of my life. Sins that if most of you folks here knew about them, you wouldn't probably want anything to do with me, and that's the serious truth. You know, I don't remember every sin. I have so many sins, it's not possible for me to remember them all. But the ones that I do remember, I wish I couldn't remember sometimes. But I laid there and I thought about these things, times I wasn't in the church, things that I'd done, things that I thought, and I thought to myself, how in the world, if God forgave me for all these sins and all that I'd done against Him, how can I not forgive anyone no matter what they do? I really thought that. And I believe that is the truth. How can I judge someone else? You see, when David was punished in 2 Samuel, when Nathan came to him, God never changed one bit His love for David. He judged his sins. He didn't judge the man. That's hard for you and I to understand. And when we do that, if we do that, we'll realize that we could have done just exactly what this other fellow done that offended us or offended someone else, that we're just as capable of it. But God loves sinners. He hated sin, but He loves sinners. And He done what was necessary to take care of the sin debt. When Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid that debt that was not free, that was so costly by giving His own life, your account was cleared. The guilt was taken away. And you'll go to heaven one day and God will treat you as one who never sinned once in your life. Doesn't that amaze you? Because of Jesus Christ. He bore all your iniquities and all your sins. They were nailed to the cross. And God sees you as a righteous individual based upon the work of Jesus Christ. You have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That is the motivation in Ephesians 4 and 32. For us to forgive others, is it not? You know, I made a statement when I talked about finishing what you started. It said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I bring that out because I believe we've gotten away from preaching Christ as often as we should. Our life is all about Jesus Christ. Conforming ourselves to His image to the best of our ability. Following the example and walking in His steps that we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2. He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. This is all about Jesus Christ. You know, if we go to heaven, it's all about Christ. And it's all about Christ living here. Because He forgave us, we ought to be more than willing to forgive others. Our forgiveness didn't come without paying of a cost. And that cost was the life of the Son of God. He laid down His life for us. He gave His life for us because He loved us. And we were forgiven of all our sins in the past, in the very present, and in the future. You know, if we stood before God on that great and notable day and we had to give account for one sin and make good on that one sin, we wouldn't go to heaven. You know, there are people who believe that they'll stand before the Lord and if the plus side is higher than the minus side, they'll get a chance to go in. I tell you, that's not the way it is, brothers and sisters. If there's one sin that stands against us and is not forgiven, we'll not enter into glory. We're going to go there perfect because we are made perfect by the blood of Christ. We were forgiven of every sin in the past, in the present, in the future. You had to be because you cannot pay for one sin. The Bible tells us that if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of the entire law. You've broke it all. You can't pay for any of the debt. Remember that as we go forward this morning. You can't pay for any of the debt you have against the Lord our God. You've been forgiven of all your sins. And I'm telling you, think about how many sins you've committed in your life. If you're like me, I'm telling you, there's just not a number. I believe the number's infinite. It's so big that I can't even put my thoughts around it. Because when you think of the sins of omission, the sins of commission, the thoughts of your heart, day in and day out when you live, I'm telling you, we've got a multitude of sins that you and I couldn't possibly number. And yet the slate has been wiped clean. The account has been taken care of. The guilt has been removed. And you've been forgiven of all your sins. This ought to be the motivating factor in our life to be merciful unto others and to forgive them. Now, we know that as we journey through life that offenses are going to come, and we're going to look at those here in just a little bit. But I believe the Bible commands us to forgive. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 35, as we end the chapter, the most comprehensive chapter on forgiveness, I believe, in the entire Bible, it says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." When I told you a while ago, there's no qualifying statements there. You know, men are the one who constitutes what it takes to be forgiven, not God. He says to forgive everyone. And as we go to Luke chapter 17 here in a few minutes, we'll make more light of that. But we're to forgive men of all their trespasses. And that's not easy. I'm not here to tell you that it'll be an easy thing. And if you only forgive based on how you feel, you won't forgive. Because a person that inflicted pain and suffering in your life, whatever it might be, you won't ever feel like giving them the time of day. You hope that they suffer the way that you suffered. That's what you're looking for. But we're to forgive them. There's not any options in the Word of God. We are to forgive them. If they repent, we're to forgive them. And even when we think about repentance, we cannot be certain that they repented. We can't. And oftentimes, we probably don't think that they did repent, and therefore they shouldn't be forgiven. But I don't believe that's an option in the Word of God either. Let's notice what the psalmist says in Psalms 130. There are many people who will tell you that they're so grateful and thankful for the forgiveness they have in Jesus Christ, that Jesus paid all the debt, and they know one day they're going to end up in glory because of what Jesus Christ done for them. But yet they struggle mightily with forgiving others for what they've done to them. Doesn't it amaze you when you think about it for just a moment that you're so grateful and thankful for the forgiveness of all the debt you have against God, and yet you're so unwilling at times to forgive others of their faults? In the second verse of Psalm 130, it says, "Lord," David said, "Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." He said, and he asked a question here that I believe really pertains to our situation in life. "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" If God was to mark out your sins and file them over here for future reference, do you believe there's a one of us that could stand? Not a one of us. You know, one of the synonyms for forgiveness is forgetfulness. It's to forget. I told you this morning that forgiving is something we struggle with. If you want to examine yourself, and I encourage you mightily to examine yourself in this area of forgiveness, ask yourself, is there someone in your life that has offended you? Have you been able to forget the offense? See, the definition of forgive is to treat someone as if the offense had never happened. Now, that's not easy, is it? If somebody brought pain and suffering in your life and done you wrong, can you go back and treat them in the same manner that you treated them before the offense happened? Friends, that's how it's going to be with you and I when we get to heaven. God's not going to sit down there and take an account, because if he takes an account through us, well, we're doomed. We're forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the debt was paid in full, not partial. If it was only a partial payment, then we're doomed again, because we can't fulfill the rest of it. He forgive us of every sin that we ever committed. Oh, how thankful we are for that forgiveness. Yet sometimes it's so difficult to go out and to forgive others. He says, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Forgiveness is in the Lord, and we're all so thankful for that. We look and hope for that great day and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that all our sin debt has been put away forever. That's what Ephesians 4 and 32 is teaching us there. Because for Christ's sake, you and I have been forgiven of the entire debt. That ought to be our daily motivation to forgive those who've offended us. But I tell you, there's folks in this world that don't intend to forgive anybody, no matter what happens. But the Bible tells us there's consequences for that. And I know folks in that condition. I really do. I've seen them. I've lived among them. And we'll get to that in just a minute. The Bible says when you don't forgive everyone, your brother, there's consequences that are going to come along with that. If Christ forgive you, if God for Christ's sake forgive you of all your sins, we ought to be more than willing to forgive others. If God was willing to forgive you, we ought to be willing to forgive others, ought we not? You know, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38, we see a verse that I believe is common to this teaching that we see in the day in which we live. You know, in Exodus chapter 21, it talks about all the judgments that were brought forth, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. You know, a lot of people desire God's grace when it comes to going to heaven. But when they live here on this earth, they really do like that, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, it's called the law of retaliation. You done me wrong, and I'm going to get you back. You didn't treat me right, I'm going to treat you wrong. You're going to suffer the same pain and suffering that I suffered. That's what a lot of folks want. Verse 38 in Matthew 5, he says, "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." This is the law of retaliation. And in our carnal nature, it is very appealing. Yet we all know, sitting here today, that if we wasn't forgiven of the entire sin debt in our lives through the blood of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have no hope of heaven. In Matthew 18, I believe it deals with this. Let's notice in verse 23. And I believe this not only applies to us individually, this can apply to us collectively as a church. It says in verse 23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." In the Bible, when you see in the Gospels the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, it generally has reference to the church, to the physical kingdom here, not to glory, not to heaven, that'll come one day. It's talking about the here and now. And it says, "And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. If you are to multiply 10,000 talents out, it would probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 million. Millions upon millions of dollars. This man had no ability to pay. Now, this is a picture of you and I and our sin debt is what it is. Our sin debt is so great and so extensive that you and I could not possibly pay for any of it. We can't pay for one sin, but it tells us how great that debt is. And he goes on and says, "But for as much as ye had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all." Well, this fellow wasn't going to ever be able to repay him. He begged for mercy, and his king granted him mercy. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him his debt. Did Jesus Christ have compassion on us? Absolutely. You know, he's not going to take an account of our sins on that last and final day. We've already been judged through the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid that debt in full at the cross of Calvary. And you've been forgiven of all sins, past, present, and in the future. The debt was great, just as this man was. But when I talked about the law of retaliation, how we all love the fact that God forgive us of every sin, but we go out in life and somebody does something wrong to us, and we want them to get what they have coming to them. Sometimes we are not willing whatsoever to forgive them. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a command. It's a willingness and a decision that you and I make to do. It doesn't mean you'll always feel good about it, but it's something that God commands us to do. It says, "But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, about 20 bucks. Here this guy owed his king millions of dollars, had nothing to pay with, and the king had mercy upon him, forgave him. And then one of his fellow servants out here had this minor sin, $20 debt, and he took him by the throat. Took him by the throat. Now, can you imagine? That reminds me of God's people sometimes here in the world, does it not? You know, we've had this great debt removed where we're going to get to go live in glory, and we want to run outside and find whose throat we can clamp our hands on because of something they done to us. It ought not to be that way, brothers and sisters. That's exactly what this fellow done. It's the law of retaliation. How soon do we forget of the great debt that we've been forgiven? That is the motivating factor in forgiving everyone, whether it be individually or collectively as a church. You know, there are churches that don't forgive. There are individuals that don't forgive. Forgiveness is a topic in the Bible that is as important as salvation by grace. You know, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. We've got caught up in the fact that people have, a lot of primitive Baptists have, that doctrine refers to the foundations of grace. Doctrine refers to everything that God taught. Doctrine means what is taught. That's all it means, what God taught. God teaches us the importance of forgiveness, and you know that we wouldn't have salvation by grace if it wasn't for forgiveness. It's every bit as important as those other teachings on grace. I'm here making a point that all of God's teachings are extremely important. God teaches us to forgive. Now let's move on over for just a minute. I want to get a few comments out of Luke chapter 17, and then we'll go back and close in Matthew 18. Then said in verse 1, he unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come. But that offenses will come. What I'm saying here is the Lord says, you're going to personally be offended in this life. It's impossible. It's impossible that one of us would not be offended in this life. But woe unto him through whom they come. What's interesting here, it says in verse 2, it was better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. In other words, it would be better if you and I were dead than to lead one of these little ones into sin. I'll tell you what, that's some sobering words from the Lord Jesus Christ right there, is it not? Are you able to forgive mother and dad, grandma and grandpa, brothers and sisters? I don't care who it is in your life. Have you forgiven them? If you haven't, this is the litmus test to forgiving. Do you bring it up time and time again and talk about it to someone? Do you talk about it to others? Is it on the forefront of your mind? You know, the Lord put away our sins as far as the east is from the west. He forgot them. He said, I will be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and iniquities. I will remember no more. If somebody has offended you in your life and you're struggling with that, you see, there are people who go through their entire life and have an unforgiving heart. And I believe that robs them of the kind of life that they ought to have here on this earth. It really does. They exist. They eat and drink. They go about their daily chores. But there's something about those folks that the Lord promises to happen to them in Matthew 18. And we're going to go back there in just a few minutes. He goes on, he says, take heed unto yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. Rebuke's not a harsh word. Matthew 18 gives us a description of exactly how we ought to do it. Again, the greatest example of how we're to deal with forgiveness is given to us in Matthew 18. Go to your brother in love and in the spirit of meekness to win the brother, not to win the argument. And you'd find that a lot of our problems would be solved. But I know in my own life, and I know in the life of many others, that's not the way that we handle forgiveness. We're offended, and we begin to bring it up to ourselves, talk to others about it. We don't go to our brother or sister in private. Do you believe that God's way is the best way? If man's way in marriage was the best way, why is the divorce rate 60 or 70% in this country? It tells me that man's way is not very good. When it comes to forgiveness, do you believe that our ideas of forgiveness or how we're to deal with them are better than God's plan? You may not like it because you don't feel right about it emotionally. The Bible commands us to forgive. He says, and if the trespass And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, seven times in a day turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Notice the word shalt. It didn't say you might give it some serious thought. You might meditate on it a while. Thou shalt forgive him. I mentioned a little bit ago that, and I think most of us would fall into this category, if a brother, the same brother, offended you seven times in one day, how many of you would question whether he was truly repenting or not? I know I probably would. Oh, he's not repenting. I'm not going to forgive him. What did the Lord say to do? You know, the Lord, first of all, said, we don't know if this man repented or not, but God did. God knows. And he says if he comes to you seven times and asks for apologizes to you, we're to accept his apology. We may not know if he truly repented, but God does. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. You just have to put that into the hands of the Lord. That's what we have to do. Because we don't know. I can honestly tell you, and I believe most individuals sitting in this congregation would say, that if a man offended you seven times in one day and come and ask for repentance, you wouldn't believe he'd repented one time. You wouldn't believe a thing he had to say. But it must be possible or Jesus wouldn't have put this in the Bible. Would y'all agree with that? He wouldn't have put that in here if that was not possible. He says, thou shalt forgive him. But let's notice what the apostle said here. And the apostle said unto him, I said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They said, Lord, we just don't have what it takes here. Our faith is just not strong enough for us to obey your command. He said, if you'll just give us a little more faith and make us a little stronger, then maybe we'll be able to comply with your command to forgive here. And the Lord said, if ye had the faith as the grain of a mustard seed. The Lord said here that it's not your lack of faith, that your ability to forgive someone is not based upon some emotional feeling you have. It was a command that I gave you. It's a decision that you have to make to forgive someone. He said, if you had the grain of faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What does this have to do with forgiveness? The Lord said, you don't lack faith. You have enough faith. That's not your problem. That was the way they justified not forgiving someone, was the fact that they didn't have enough faith. They wasn't strong enough to obey the command of the Lord. And he goes on, and I'm going to read verses 9-7-10. But which of you, having a servant plying or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward ye shall eat and drink? Doth he think that that servant, because he did these things that were commanded him, does he thank him? I trow not. Now, again, you might ask, what does the unprofitable servant have to do with forgiveness? Notice verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you. We're commanded to forgive those who offend us. It's not an option or a multiple choice question. He commands us. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. It is our duty to forgive our brothers and sisters. It is. We're to forgive others, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. It's not an option. There are no other options. Now let's go back to Matthew 18. Some people have convinced themselves beyond any doubt they're not going to forgive someone. And I'm sure in your lifetime you have run across these type of folks. You get down in verse 33 and it said 32. Then his Lord, after he had went out and cast this fellow servant into prison and grabbed him around the neck, then his Lord, after that, had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. You reckon any children of God could be in this condition? Oh, we desire the Lord, don't we? He's forgiven us all that great debt, a debt that you and I can't possibly count. And if he hadn't forgiven us of every bit of that debt, none of us would go to heaven. We are thankful, and I believe that from our hearts. But that's the pattern. That's what the Lord's teaching us here, because he forgave us of a debt, a number so large that we cannot possibly even fathom that number. We ought to have mercy and forgiveness on others. Oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? I don't find anywhere in Matthew chapter 18 whereas you're given a reason not to forgive. There's no qualifications laid out. If your brother, sister, son or daughter, husband or wife, mother or father, whatever it might be, repents and asks for apology, you forgive them. You forgive them. You don't mark those iniquities for future reference. You forget it. That's the litmus test of where you've really forgiven. If you can't forget it and it crops up in your mind from time to time, if you have to have a discussion with your spouse about it, or if you have to talk to other folks about it, it tells me one thing. We hadn't forgot, have we? That's what real forgiveness is to forget. Because we're not going to go to heaven and sit around the Lord and talk about all the sins that we had committed against the Lord in heaven. Because they were all paid for in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have full and complete forgiveness in him. And that should be the great motivating factor in our lives to forgive everyone that offends us. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Have you ever thought about tormentors? That means to torture. And I believe the Bible teaches us that torturing takes place in the prison of your own mind. Through anger that almost will lead a person to rage. To the root of bitterness, which poisons all your being, talked about in Hebrews chapter 12. To resentment, resenting other folks. They're resentful. To hatred. That just lists a few things. You see, a lot of people, when they don't forgive someone, they think they're bringing pain and inflicting pain and suffering on that person. But what they don't realize, they're the ones suffering the pain and the agony. Because God gave them over to the tormentors of their own mind to suffer these things, to be angry on the verge of rage, to be filled with all types of bitterness. They can't let go of it. It just keeps coming back. It's the centerpiece of their conversation. They won't let go of it. It takes away all their joy. It gets to the point that people don't even want to be around them because they're so negative and they're so down and out with what happened to them. I've seen this happen with folks that haven't forgiven something that was 20, 30, or 40 years in the past. Paul said not to look behind, forgetting those things which are behind us. If you don't forgive and forget, it will take all the joy and pleasure out of your life here on this earth. You will be trapped in a prison that you can't get out of. You won't be happy. Like I said, forgiving is not easy, but God commands us to forgive. And I believe that if we forgive somebody as God's commanded us, those emotional feelings will come around and be right with us at one point in a later time. But oftentimes we operate off our emotions and we don't feel right about it. We're not going to forgive even though God commanded us. If we don't forgive, you can be certain of one thing. The Bible doesn't give us any options. Now I'm going to make one more reference before I close in the first part of this chapter. If I'm not a forgiving person, what is it that I need to do to become a forgiving person? We know that as the chapter 18 began, it said at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The sin of pride was being raised up here, pride in its ugly head. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, when I started reading this in the last 6 months, this verse has come back to me time and time and time again. It didn't say that you might be kind of in the kingdom of heaven. Made me wonder how many folks go to church that are not in the kingdom of heaven. Because it says if you don't have the mindset of humility that a little child has and that ability to forgive your brother or sister, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Makes me wonder how many of us do. We all know as children and our own children, they get mad, they hit their brother, they hit their sister, they hit their friend, and 30 minutes later, it's history. It's forgotten. They go right on playing as though nothing ever happened. But the Bible tells us here that the grown adult can become as one as a little one. He can have that same humility. You know, we're not to be foolish like little children, but we are to forgive like them. And like I said, that's not an easy thing to do. Isn't it amazing when you were 6 years old, you were one of the most forgiving people there probably ever was, and as you grew up into an adult, it became so hard to forgive that you just don't know what happened in that 12 or 15-year time span. That is the truth. Little children are very forgiving. Matter of fact, you can see stories of little children that were literally beaten by their parents. I'm not talking about chasing, beaten. And they'll always go back to mom and dad because they love them. Forgiveness is something that a child has that you and I as adults certainly need to really be blessed in the kingdom of God. We as a church need to be a forgiving church. We as individuals need to be forgiving of one another. You know, we've all been offended. We've all had difficult times in our life, and we're going to struggle with that. The Lord said personal offenses were going to come, and they'll continue to come. But because you were forgiven of all the sins that you've ever committed and will commit until the day you die, and you'll go to heaven as one who's never committed a sin, perfect in the sight of God because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was full and complete forgiveness. It wasn't partial forgiveness. You know, there are those who preach that forgiveness was partial and you got to take care of the rest. That's not what the Bible teaches me. It teaches me that the debt was paid in full and that you were forgiven of every sin. And because you were, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we're commanded to forgive each other for the sins that we commit. And we all offend each other from time to time. Our husbands, our wives, our friends, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we don't want to, we oughtn't to want the law of retaliation. Aren't you glad God didn't retaliate against us? If he did, not a one of us would be in heaven. We'd all suffer in hell, the eternal punishment of God forever. May God bless us to remember that. And the main thing is when we have a hard time forgiving someone, sit down for a little bit and think about all that God's forgiven you of.